I love stories, don't you? Great stories. And I love the this great story that Rob told us about. These two men, Paul and Silas, just living their lives, walking down the street, and they encounter a woman who, through the spirit that was living in her, knew all about them and who they were. And of course, just like we do, we want to help people. We just want to minister to them. And of course, it caused a lot of trouble. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Rob kind of gave us a précis of what we might do if we were in that kind of trouble. I won't say this to Cleo. She might. I don't think she'd probably change her mind of going, but we've been mugged a couple of times in Africa. You could ask those questions. You could say, but why has it happened to me? But, you know, it's only in those situations that you really discover what you believe and who you believe in. And I think that when those two disciples sat in the bottom of that cell, not very pleasant places, of course, Roman cells, they don't let you go out to the toilet. You're locked there because the Roman guard was scared. Because if he let you go, then he would be killed. And so he wasn't going to take any chances. He was going to make sure you did not escape. And of course, you could have been there until you got executed. And I think they are the times that you really do test what you believe. It's interesting that when the guard, the Roman soldier, asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Because when you see someone going through difficult situations and they kind of breeze through, and you think, well, I want that kind of life. And I don't know whether this morning that's the kind of life that you want, the life that actually does believe God, that he will look after you. I want you to consider with me this morning a text on that line. It's a scripture. It's in Hebrews. It's chapter 11. And it's verse 6. And it says this, and I want you to learn it, because when you face your next difficulty, rather than panic or get in despair or go into crisis mode, quote this script yourself. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is. Oh, you've got it up there. Thank you. That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want you to think of three words with me this morning. First one is faith, the second one is belief, and the third one is doubt. Dave Latham is one of the speakers at the Mission Life Grace Conference that I know you're all going to and booked in to go. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him since he was in Zimbabwe in the early days, back in the 1980s, he worked for some years there. And he had a letter or a Facebook comment. You don't get letters now, do you? You get it on your Facebook. And this was the letter he got. He said, "Dear Pastor Dave, last night at 9 a.m., I called you and asked you to agree with Susie and me for healing for her sister-in-law who is carrying twins in her womb. She was given a bad report from several specialists at the Liverpool Women's Hospital. They had run a series of tests and scans, including a 6-inch needle inserted into the placenta of one of the babies to obtain fluids to test. She was told her little baby boy would probably be born with Down syndrome of some brain disability, as there was fluid surrounding his brain. Within 12 hours of prayer, she has been discharged from the hospital, as the scans this morning show everything is normal in her womb with both babies. The doctors are puzzled, but we are not. Her husband Paul is weeping and rejoicing as he clearly sees God's healing hand upon his wife. May the Lord richly bless you. That was just weeks ago. Because you and I can read the stories of the Bible, can't we, and think, well, that's great. Great opportunity. But I wonder whether you really do believe that that was true. You can't doubt that this was true, because it happens. He says this follows on from a woman a few weeks ago with a large tumour coming for prayer. After the prayer, the doctor said she didn't need an operation because it had completely disappeared without trace and without explanation. Quite a number of people have found a living faith in Jesus Christ recently in the church, and the people who have felt defiled and affected by unclean spirits have felt God instantly wash them and set them free. The church was packed on Sunday, so we have a lot to be thankful for. I thought it might be a good time to flash this up to counterbalance the many challenges we have had in the last 12 months. At the risk of being seen to be politically correct, God is still in control, and we are rejoicing. Faith, belief, and doubt. Here's a quote from a man who wrote a great commentary. His name was Strong. You know, you can get these great big chunky things that tell you where everything is in the Bible. He says this. He tells us that faith is always a gift from God and never something that can be produced by people. You know that he reminds us of Ephesians when it says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is God's work. Faith is implanted by God in our hearts. Faith comes to those who believe. Believing is our responsibility. Doubt, you know, is the devil's ground. He wants you to doubt God. In other words, we've got to come to the place where we believe God. We believe that he is. Not what he might do or what he might provide for us. I remember the first time, this might encourage Cleo, I remember the first time I wanted to go overseas to Africa. It was Nigeria, long time ago now. I didn't have the money. So I kind of said, well, if the Lord provided the money, I knew it was that I should go. And the brother I was going with, he wanted me to make a decision. So he said to me, Terry, are you coming? And I said, well, I'm praying about it. So he just laid, I don't know whether he put his hand on my head or that. He said, Lord, he said, tell Terry what to do. Speak to him. Because, you know, Romans reminds us that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. It's in Romans chapter 10. And I went back to my seat where I was having coffee, and there was, you know, some brethren around. It was one of these occasions of meeting, and someone leant across the table and he said, I've got a word for you. Well, I'm always a bit cautious of people that have words for me. I've had people tell me some strange things. I listened. He said, you are to go east. Well, I kind of worked out that Nigeria is just about east. It's a bit south, but it's, you know, it's a, but it is east, down there somewhere. So I accepted that as the word of the Lord. I went back to the brother and I said, the Lord's spoken to me, I'm coming with you. When I got home, guess what dropped through the letterbox? £500. That's what it cost to fly to Nigeria. It's a bit more expensive these days to fly to Africa, unless you go on Egypt Air. There it was. But I had to make the decision. You see, I've got to believe God. Now, I don't know whether you believe God. I'm not talking, do you believe God for something? Or do you believe God for healing? Or do you believe God for your, you know, your supply? Because he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It's amazing, isn't it? When you read the scripture, I know somebody once said this to me. He said, if Jesus comes and stands here and talks to me personally, I'll believe him. Well, don't you believe it? Because the disciples did not believe in him and they live with him. So belief is not, if you like, something that you can just sort of do. Let me read from the scripture. I'm in Mark's gospel at the end of his writing, chapter 16. We've got this woman, Mary Magdalene. Apparently he cast out 7 demons out of her. Verse 10, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. You know, you can have an amazing experience and yet still not believe. And when they heard that he was alive, they didn't believe. Verse 12, after that he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. My name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will follow those that believe. The English dictionary says that to believe is to accept as true or real, to be convinced of the truth, to have confidence in, and to be persuaded. I believe in God. I just believe. I don't have any difficulty in accepting that he is who he is. Now, I don't believe him because of what he may do for me or what he may provide, although we have seen him do some wonderful things, wonderful miracles. I've seen him transform people's lives. I've seen him answer prayer. I've seen him heal the sick. I believe. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. But faith is what God imparts to you through your believing. You know, some people would love to have lots of things, to ask God for things. And sometimes they wonder why they don't, why he doesn't give it to them. If you took faith, and you, I might have said this to you before, F-A-I-T-H is forsaking all, I trust him. And trust is an aspect of faith. You know this story too, because I've probably told this to you before. Blondin was a 19th century acrobat. I don't know if you know him about him. He was famous for his tightrope acts 160 feet above Niagara Falls on a rope which was over 1,000 feet long. In 1860, you can check this up in your Wikipedia if you want to, absolutely true, he walked on this rope blindfolded on stilts. You believe it? And he stopped halfway. After that, he stopped halfway and cooked and ate an omelette. Next, he wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other and returned with a sack of potatoes in it. Believe it? Difficult, isn't it, to believe? Then he approached the royal party. They were there looking at him. And he said this, "Do you believe I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?" Well, they just watched him take a sack of potatoes. They just watched him stop and cook an omelette. And of course they said, "I do." He said, "Well, hop in then." Well, the Duke declined Blondin's challenge. He might have believed Blondin could do it, but he wasn't about to trust him with his life. When it comes to God, this kind of belief is not much good to him. God is looking for followers who will trust him with their lives. Faith means to be persuaded, to trust, to rely upon, to have confidence in. I believe in God. John uses this word believe 99 times in his writing. And I can think of some. Right in chapter 1 it says, John 1 verse 12, "As many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name." And then, you know, there's that famous one in John 3 verse 16, which you can all quote, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish." What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have a life that I can sit in that cell and just worship and praise God and trust him that what he is doing is all part of his marvelous plan and program? You see, it's not what happens to us that's important. It's who we believe in. I believe in God. I thought of some wonderful illustrations of that. I thought of a man called Peter. I think it was Rob mentioned the storms, or somebody did, still in the storms this morning. And you know that Jesus was praying. He often spent time in the wilderness alone, and he was out there, and he sent his disciples across the sea in a boat, and he said he would follow. And of course, they see him walking on the water in the midst of the storm. They think he's a ghost. They cry out for fear. He said, "Don't be afraid, it's only me." And Peter, he says to the Lord, "Well, if it's you, you bid me come." You see, faith comes by hearing. And don't try walking on the water unless Jesus says so. I think there are a lot of people that try to do amazing things, but they haven't heard Jesus say that they should do it. They should, you see, faith, as I said, comes by hearing. Anyway, he got out of the boat and he was walking on the water. Now that is a miracle. I tell you that. I've never been able to do that. But, and here's the great turn of events, when he saw the wind and the waves, he began to doubt. You see, doubt takes us away from faith to disaster. And he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord rebuked him for his unbelief. He saved him, of course he did. But wouldn't it have been wonderful if he had just kept his eyes upon Jesus and continued his walk so that he could have met Jesus, and then they both could turn round together and get back into the boat? Wouldn't that have been a wonderful thing? But you see, Peter, as we know, as we look at his life, had some tremendous difficulties in holding on to what he believed. In fact, he thought that he could really go through with Jesus. You remember at the end, he said to the when Jesus said, "I'm going to the cross," he said, "I'll be with you, I'll follow you, I won't fail you." And Jesus said, "You will." And then in the garden, when that lass came to him and said, "You're one of them," and he said, "I'm not." We had a conversation this morning, didn't we, Danny, about what would we do if we faced persecution? If someone said to us, you know, "If you don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll kill you." I said, you could not deny him. You'd have to accept the consequences of what you believe, because I believe in God. You can't turn around and say, "I don't believe." There was there's been so much persecution. Perhaps the greatest areas of persecution in the world today, you can go into North Korea, probably that's one of the toughest areas to be a Christian. And, they've had so many wars. You can go back years, you can read stories of them out of books. And the story was of a group of soldiers that burst into this church. And they called out the leaders, the elders and the deacons, right? "Come out here and you deny that you know Jesus Christ. Go up to that picture and spit on it and say, I hate you." And you know, three of them did it. Three of the leaders. And there was a young girl. She was the next in line. She went up and she got her skirt and she wiped all the spit off the picture and she said, "I will not deny you." And And she saved the whole church. There were only three shots that rang out in that church meeting that morning. Elders and deacons got shot. She saved the church. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. There was a young man who had a young boy who was seriously troubled. We read about him in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. And as I say, you can go through these stories of Jesus and realize that the Lord can do some wonderful things in our lives. In chapter 7, verse 14, it says, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. How distressed the Lord is when Christians don't believe it. You know, we have an enemy. I know you probably know that. He is actively wanting you to doubt that Jesus is able to do anything that he wants to do in your life. You know, right in the very beginning of time, he made this statement to our forefathers. Has God said? Did he really say that? No. You mean to say that if you ate of that fruit of that tree, you would die? God won't do that. And it was done. She began to look at the tree and, it does look good, really. Her heart and mind was suddenly changed, and she began to see things from the enemy's perspective, and it destroyed her. And it says there in verse 8 that Jesus rebuked the demon, it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from there to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. This kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting. You believe in God? You believe he is? And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? One of my favourite characters, as you will know, there's a man called Smith Wigglesworth. You like Smith Wigglesworth? Oh, yes. He believed God. That was his key. He just believed God. I mean, you and I cannot do miracles. You cannot heal the sick. You cannot raise the dead. Jesus can. He is, if you like, he's the healer. He's the saviour. You can't save people. He can. All you can do is speak the word. What God says to you, you say to it. Dave Latham, you'll love Dave Latham. Have you booked a conference yet? You'll love Dave Latham. He said this to me. I was in his church and I was seeing all the fruitfulness of that man's life and ministry. Oh, different kinds of people. He lives in downtown Liverpool, so you can imagine the kind of people that you get in downtown Liverpool. Well, I hope you can anyway. He said, I know that God will save that man. One Sunday morning when we were there, a man walked in and he said, where is the pastor? And they said, he's over there. He went up to him and said, Mr. Latham, I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. They prayed together. And this man gave his life unconditionally to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the meeting he said, stand up, James. I think his name was James. He said, this man has given his life to Jesus this morning. He clapped. You know. Just walked in. Because he knew that that man could bring him into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Just knew what to say. And Smith Wigglesworth was like that, wasn't he? He was having a day off in Belfast, and he was just asking the Lord what he would do. There were about 20 people he might like to have seen, but he couldn't see all of them. So as he was considering, one of his friends said, what are you doing today, Smith? He said, well, I'm thinking about going to visit. He said, would you go and visit this woman? This woman had strained her heart doing her housework. These days you'd nip down to Papworth and have a heart transplant or something, and they'd stick a couple of stents in. It's amazing what you can have. He writes this in his book. You can read stories about him. I went to the house and saw a very helpless woman propped up in bed. I knew, humanly speaking, she was beyond all help. She was breathing with short, sharp breaths, as if every breath would be her last. I cried to the Lord and said, Lord, tell me what to do. The Lord said to me, read Isaiah chapter 53. So he turned. That's what the Lord said. So he did what the Lord said. Now, I don't think there's anyone in this room would have any difficulty doing that, would you? All you need to do is hear and speak it. You have to believe it, of course. Think if he had read Matthew chapter 19 or something, or anyway. He said, the Lord said to me, read Isaiah 53. I opened my Bible and did as I was told. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I got down to verse 5, which talks about healing, you know, by his stripes we are healed. And all of a sudden the woman shouted, I am healed. I don't expect she said it quite like that. She probably said, I'm healed! I was amazed at this sudden exclamation and asked her to tell me what had happened. She said, 2 weeks ago I was cleaning house and strained my heart badly. Two physicians have been to see me and they both told me there was no help. But last night the Lord gave me a vision. I saw you come right into my bedroom. I saw you open your Bible at the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and when you got down to the 5th verse and read the words, with his stripes we are healed, I saw myself wonderfully healed. That was a vision. Now it is fact. You believe God? You see, in Hebrews, in that 11th chapter, which is the chapter of faith, if we go back a few verses, we come to verse 38 of the 10th chapter, and it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, the New King James Bible says. That means destruction. For Peter, it was sinking in the water. But you see, the Lord is very gracious and loving. I guess just as he got his head under the water, kind of pulled him back up and stood him back on the water. And they went back to the boat. He never left him to drown. And the Lord Jesus will not leave you to drown at all. But you know, there are a lot of stories of God's people. I was thinking of this man, Enoch. It says in verse 5 that Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was the father of Methuselah. And if you remember your Bible history, you know that Methuselah was the oldest man that had ever lived on the earth. He lived for 969 years. He died in the flood. And we're back to Noah. Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But he pleased God. He said, but without faith it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In the marriage course, which I know you do, there's a man called James, and Nicky and Cilla Lee, who wrote the marriage book, tell this story. In December 1986, Anna left husband James after 3 years of marriage and set up home with another man. She wanted a divorce and had begun proceedings. James began to pray for reconciliation, although she refused to see him. After 2.5 years, the decree nisi, the first stage of divorce, had come through. But in July 1989, he sent Anna and her new partner 2 tickets to go and hear Billy Graham. Here we have a man, for 2.5 years, he believed God. He didn't waver. James talks about, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. If any man doubts, he's like a waverer, like a wave of the sea. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from God. This man decided that he was going to trust God, that God would do a miracle in his life. And 2.5 years later, he's still trusting God. Sent 2 tickets to go to hear Billy Graham. She sent them back. She said, I don't want to go. So he sent another 2 tickets. Billy Graham stayed on the next day. And she said, she rang him and said that her partner did not want to go, but that she would like to if James went too. She wrote later, everything Billy Graham said seemed to hit my heart. My job was going really well. I had another relationship, but still was not happy. Billy Graham said a lot about making a clean start. In my mind, I thought, get the divorce out of the way and start again with my partner or go on my own. At the end of the talk, Anna went down onto the pitch to give her life to Christ. Through the tears, She says, I felt sense of God's love and a reordering of all the, my priorities of life. I believed that God was giving me a clean start, but I also clearly felt him saying, now I'm going to rebuild your marriage. At that moment, I realized that my marriage was very precious to God and that he was going to do something extraordinary. He reassured me somehow that he wasn't just going to patch up my marriage, but totally renew it. You believe God that can restore marriage? Change life? A counsellor from Billy Graham approached her on the pitch and asked if she'd come with anybody. She said, yes, I've come with my husband. He said, that's good. But she said, you don't understand. I haven't seen him for 2.5 years. Tonight is the first time we've met. She said, well, would you bring him? So she went back and asked her husband if he would come down and pray with the counsellor. She said at this point, the counsellor herself began crying. Anna knew that she needed to return to her husband. She and James had to go to court to get the decree nicely set aside. The judge was delighted. The usher wept for joy. Now, 18 years later, they have 2 children and are deeply committed to one another. Believe God? Why should we not believe God? This is one of my favourite stories, and I'm not going to apologise, because when I think of faith, I always think of a dear lady in the church who will all know, called Margaret Bailey, now my son's mother-in-law, and has it gone 11:15? Oh, we've got an hour yet. I know we should be breaking bread as well. But I'm sure that it must have been looking at the second hand. She was in a meeting similar to this one Sunday morning, and I was talking on a similar subject to this, faith. And I just said this. I said, you can ask God anything this morning, he'll do it for you. Now, that's a brave statement to say, isn't it? And she said, she responded, save my Jimmy tonight. Well, Jimmy, or Jim as we know him now, wasn't a Christian. He was at home. Nice man, friendly. So she had to go home and invite him to come to the meeting that night. We had 2 meetings on a Sunday. And so in the evening meeting, there he was. 3 young men brought a word of prophecy. You've heard prophecy this morning. And at the end of that 3rd prophecy, Jim Bailey was saved. We went into the study, him and his wife, and we prayed together. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. I believe God. So remember that scripture. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. If God's told you, he'll do it. If God's sending you to Zimbabwe, he'll provide for you. If God wants to save your husband, he'll do it. All you need to do is hear what he has to say and do it. Amen. Do you want me to? You going to carry on? Yeah? Father, we do thank you that you are able to do even abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. Thank you, Lord, that when you chose your disciples, you gave them authority. And thank you that you've given us authority or power to live our lives for you. And Lord, let us not doubt that you can do what you want to do. Let's believe you, Lord, for the things in our lives that seem at this moment impossible. Because if we pray and sing and worship, Lord, and you can take doors out and knock walls down, move mountains, surely you can move the mountains in our own lives. Why should we accept that you can't do what you want to do? We want to be people that believe you. We ask that you'll put it in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.